Good morning. Hey, this is a good church. Can I have a better aim? Enthusiasm? Hello, this is a good church. Praise God. I bring you greetings from my wife. She's looking after the children at the church we attend at the moment on the Gold Coast, so there you go. My wife's a real traveller. I don't like travelling anyway. Who wants to... You can have breakfast in Brisbane and lunch in Sydney and your luggage in Afghanistan. You think I'm making it up, is that right? But my wife is, she loves to travel, German background. And a few years ago, she wanted to go to Israel. And so, I succumb and, okay. And while we're over there, she wanted to go and see the Wailing Wall. And when I got in the taxi with the Arab taxi driver, I couldn't remember what it was called. So I said, mate, can you take us to that place, where people stand and bang their heads on the wall and cry? So he took me to the taxation department. I'm just kidding. Morning. Is it right to have a sense of humour or what? I think the musicians and singers, put your hands together. That's awesome worship. And I think they tapped my notes because they were singing about joy. And I was just asking the Lord what I could share. But just before, there is some books as pastor and a great introduction. There's a book there called 800 Horsemen. And one of my new ones, it's called Whatever Happened to Joy. So they're available afterwards. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20. Lord, we're just so excited about what you're doing in our homes and our families. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. Touch our hearts. Touch our hearts as only you can touch our hearts. That when we leave, there'll be changes in our lives. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. And thank you for your grace and favor that's on our lives and our homes and our families. We worship you in Jesus' name. Hey, Acts chapter 20. I was sharing with the men yesterday, but I like Paul. I just like the way Paul writes. And here in verse 24, it's a passage that I've been really studying for some time now. And he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Now think about it. He was stoned and whipped and left for dead, all of those things, shipwrecked, but he says, none of these things move me. I like that. That man's got a good attitude. And he says, so that I might finish my race or my course. Now, this is the great apostle Paul. He could want to finish it with anything. He could have said, wonderful, great healing services. And that would be awesome. Or maybe great prophetic words, and that would be awesome. Or maybe great outreaches, and that would be awesome. But he says, I want to finish my course with joy. Isn't that interesting? And joy's not the name of his wife. I might finish my course with joy, And I'm reading that and I'm thinking about that. Why would you want to finish your course with joy? Because if you lose your joy, you lose your strength. Can I have an amen? We live in sad times. The world's sick, depressed. Spirit of heaviness after COVID. The suicide rate is off the Richter scale. My son's a detective at the Northern Territory. His wife heads up the mounted police in Darwin. And the suicide rate is off the Richter scale. Not just among people and young people, but even among Christians. For the first time ever, there's believers, even pastors. And says that I might finish my course with joy. And he says, in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I love that. So think about that. Finish my course with joy. The gospel is good news. Is this correct or not? It's supposed to be good news. Is that hello? Maybe you've forgotten that. It's Christmas time. The angel comes to herald Jesus' birth. He didn't say misery to the world. He said joy to the world. And somewhere along the line, I wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Joy. And I'm just thinking, and more that I think about that, what did ever happen to joy? So in Nehemiah, if you go to Nehemiah with me for a few moments, Nehemiah chapter 8. How many of you believe the Bible? Not what I say, you say, it's what the Word of God says. We say, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. It doesn't say that, it says, if you continue in my Word. We leave that out. If you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And here, this is Ezra, and he's reading the law. And we'll read from verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." I'd cry too if I had to live under the law. You got to do this and you got to do that. Hey, it's not that you got to, you get to do it. Big difference. Is that right? If you're forced to do something. And it goes on to say, they all wept. They all wept. And then he says, "Go your way," verse 10, "eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Not just funny, tell funny jokes, but the joy of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Hello? If you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. And, you know, I see it over and over as we try. I love to see people succeed, churches succeed, marriages succeed. And I believe there's some things, some keys, is that right, that we can learn? My mum and dad were married to each other for 74 years. They were only Christians the last 10 years of their life. And my dad, you know, eats the crackling off the pork this thick and butter so thick. And I said, "Dad, you can't eat like that. You got to eat healthy." He said, "I'm not eating tree bark and lawn clippings. They're all dead at 40. My dad died at 96. My mum was 98 when the doctors killed her. Almost made. Listen to me. And it's not just, and I'm not saying don't watch what you eat. I'm not saying that. But it's more than what you eat. It's what eats you. Can I have an amen? 96, 98, never been in a gym a day in their life. They wouldn't gym, that's the name of somebody. Hello? Never been a gym day in their life, never worked out, nothing like that. Ate whatever they wanted and they lived to almost 100. And the one thing that I remember in my family is that they always had a sense of humor. Can I have an amen? The joy of, whatever happened to joy, I don't know. Here's some information. Children laugh around 150 times a day. Adults laugh about 6. And I think Matthew tells us, unless you become as a child, you in no means even enter the kingdom of heaven. Somewhere along the line, I don't know what's happened to us, but we seem to have lost joy. Galatians tell us that the fruit of the Spirit, is that right? Not the works of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's the gold medal. If that's first, then the silver medal is joy. But most times we move from love to peace because we think joy is just frivolous. Anyway, thank you. It'll come to you in a minute. But if you go back to Nehemiah, I love this. And he says here, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And so verse 11, "So the Levites quieted all the people," say all the people, "saying, be still, for the day is holy, don't be grieved. And all the people," say all the people, "all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them." You get a revelation of how much God loves you just like you are. Here's a novelty, is that right or not? There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. For God so loved the world. I love that. Get a revelation of just how much he loves us. It says all the people, you got a great church, but I've never been in any church where all the people did anything together. Some do, some don't, some will, some won't, some laugh, some don't. But it says all the people. You imagine what would happen if everyone here left rejoicing. It says all the people. All the people. Is that all the people? He says there, rejoiced greatly. I like that. You know, I've been in moves of the Spirit. Remember, you know, Rodney Howard Brown and Kenneth Hagin, where people were rolling and laughing. And I'm thinking, why would you do that? Well, obviously, God thought that somebody needed it. Can I have an amen? You know, Scripture says, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Most of us can't even laugh when things are going well. We lost our home in Cyclone Tracy, 1974. The guy sitting there from our church. We just built a brand new home. We'd only been in it 6 months. In the middle of the night, the roof's lifting. Hello? My wife's crying because the curtains are being ruined. Next day, zip, no house, gone with the wind. We run across to the neighbor's house, threw my kids under the table. You know, that came crashing down on top of us. We were trapped for 5 hours. I thought I'm going to die. My wife had more faith. She thought we're coming through. I'm sure we're going to die here. And so Christmas Day, 1974, there's nothing left. My neighbours were killed. I get out, there's no trees, there's no buildings left. You know, semi-trailers upside down, cars embedded in the side of hotels 3 stories up. And I'm in shock. How many of you know, if you've ever been in something like that, your brain, this is a bad dream, I'm going to wake up. And so I went back and we had an elevated home. All we got now is an elevated dance floor and one wall and a fish tank. That's all we got left. And I sat down and I'm just staring in. I'm not making, you don't going to make stories up. And I'm staring into outer space and I'm thinking, what's going to happen? You know, and I'm in shock. I'm sure God's trying to speak to me, but my Bible says God meets them that rejoice. Even God doesn't want to hang around with Southwest Christians. How'd you like your claim to fame to be? You could brighten up any room simply by leaving it. I don't want to be that sort of person. I just don't want to be baptized in vinegar. Cruise directors for the next Titanic. And so I'm staring into outer space and I don't know how long. And I'm, as God is my witness, a teenager comes walking down and he's stepping over the rubbish and rubble and he's whistling. And he looked up and he says, "Morning, Cole, having breakfast on the patio this morning?" And it shocked me. "Patio, also all I've got left, you idiot." I said, "Give me a brick, I'll kill him." My wife, you know, and it was so stupid, I started to laugh. I couldn't help it. And he's laughing. And the more you laugh, it lifts the stress. And as soon as the stress lifted, I hear the voice of God speak to me. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm not sunbaking. Have a look around." If you can't be honest with God, your best mate, who can you be honest with? He said, "You're alive. Your wife's alive. Your kids are. Your dog doesn't even have a scratch. Get on with your life." Best year I ever had in business. Most of the people bolted. You know, it's so easy just to slip, is that right, into depression. It doesn't take much. You know, we'd lost our home. We had to rent a place. I'll never forget. We're at Francis Bay. You could look out and see the crocs. A croc took my Labrador dog, can you believe? Anyway, I'm sitting out there this day and I'm still a bit depressed. And I'm looking out and there's a storm coming. You know, if you've ever lived in the tropics, right in the tropics, you see those storms, the black clouds, you can reach out and grab a hold of them, the lightning striking and shaking the whole house. And I'm looking and all of a sudden I see all these birds trying to get away from the storm. And they're flying low to the water to get away, seagulls, pelicans. They're bolting, they're squawking, and they're trying to get away from the storm. And I just happen to look up and here's this magnificent seagull. And he's flying in the opposite direction. He'd lock those magnificent 7-foot wings and fly right into the storm cloud. He'd hit it and we'd just catapult him up, lift him up over, and he's having the time of his life. He's enjoying it. The others are all bolting for cover. He's having the time of his life. And I heard the voice of God said, "You can live like that if you choose to, or you can run like everybody else. But if you lose your joy, you will lose your strength." Can I have an amen? Can I have a better amen? You know, if love is the gold medal, then joy is the silver, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. If joy is a fruit, some of us have had crop failures. Hello? I told the blokes when I first got saved, I didn't grow up in the church. My wife was Catholic. Everybody was Catholic once. But, I was nothing. And I turned up at the local church. I'm in shock. I'm in culture shock. Everybody's, you know, and nobody's got any sense of humour at all. I said, "God, did all the nerds get saved?" Isn't there anybody here at all with any sort of sense of humour at all? Anyway, it's different now, but I'm just saying. Anyway, but back to Paul. I mean, almost every letter he talks about joy. Almost every letter, I love it. Even Jesus, for the joy of the Lord. My joy, Jesus says, my joy might remain in you, might not, but it might. Well, hey, how many of you know you can't give something you don't possess? $100, but I don't have it. Tough luck. Well, I mention it. He says, my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Hey, I'm preaching better than you're amening. But here, you know, almost every, I love that. And I've got a wife with a great sense of humour. She'd have to be to me, married to me. And one of my best friends had just committed suicide. And that, I mean, that really knocks you. It really knocks you. A young man, family. And so I was flying back home. My wife knew I was a bit depressed, so she's got short, dark hair. So she went and out and hired a long, blonde wig, you know, Marilyn Monroe wig. And she got a different dress and put it on. It changes the whole appearance. My daughter didn't even recognise her. And so she comes to meet me at the airport. And I'm standing there waiting for the bags to come down. She walked up and stood alongside of me with the other people. Well, you don't look at, I mean, I'd somebody there. And I'm just standing waiting, and she goes, walk, poof, and I thought, you're just rude. I mean, you don't look, you know. And so I moved over, she comes, stood alongside of me again. I'm waiting for my bags to come down. And as the bag came down, I reached over to grab it. She grabbed me, spun me around, and gave me this great big kiss. I'm going, man, what's the matter with you? And she pulled the wig off and said, just as well you didn't enjoy that, you would have got a bunch of $5 with it. And it cracked me up. I'm laughing. You know, everybody around, the whole people are all laughing. It does something. Joy is like a medicine. Is that right or not? It's healing like a medicine, Proverbs says. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Let me give you some more scriptures real quickly. In 1 Thessalonians, how many of you still believe the Bible? The Word of God. If you continue in my Word, is that what it says? Is that right? 1 Thessalonians chapter, I'm in second, no, chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, rejoice sometimes. Rejoice occasionally. Rejoice when you feel like it. It says, rejoice always. Is that right? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And in the context it's written, and do not quench the Spirit. You want to quench the Holy Spirit? Lose your joy. You know, it's so easy. And I'm not saying I'm super spiritual, but it's so easy to lose your joy. In this day and age, it's so easy. Get on the freeway for a while. Get on the roundabout. I hate those things. I'm on the roundabout. I'm doing it right. And this guy's coming around and tooting me, giving me the number one driver award. I said, I'm doing it right, you moron. Jen says, tell me again about the love of God. Shut up. I don't want to hear that right now. Do I lie? Hello, should we have an altar call for liars? It's so easy to lose your joy. You know, don't be so super spiritual. I mean, I'm looking out here, watch out, your halos. Halos don't slip down and strangle you to death. You know, there's something here that I can learn. You know, is that right? I mean, I've pastored for a long time. My ex-associate, his daughter's here. He's gone back to Darwin. But hey, I didn't come down to last shower of rain. He can't say it, I can't. I mean, I'm amazed. Common sense is not all that common. They ring you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Did I wake you, Pastor? No, I'm just sitting here whistling Rock of Ages. What do you think I'd be doing at 3 o'clock in the morning? What do you reckon I'd be doing? Do you have a word for me? Yeah, but trust me, you don't want to hear it. But I'm in the flesh right now. I just can't believe, you know. Anyway, not this church. This is a Gold Coast church we're talking about. You know, James, the New Testament equivalent to the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom. And what does he say? He says, count it all joy. When you fall into various tests and trials, count it. What does that mean? 1, 2, 3, 4? No, it means, count it all means lead before your mind. Focus on, meditate, lead it. When you go into a test or a trial, focus on joy. The first thing in the morning when you wake up, focus on joy. Last thing when you go into bed, thank you, Jesus. There's so much to be grateful for. Is that right or not? Yeah. I remember my wife said, you know, change your attitude. You know, I jump out of bed in the morning and hallelujah, and then I got to wait till the room stops spinning. But you can do it. Is that right or not? You can do it. Yeah. And I don't want to be the type of person that, like I say, just brightens up a room whenever you leave. Some, wherever they go, others, whenever they go. You know, in John 15:11, as I said, it says, my joy might remain. It doesn't say it will, it said it might remain. So you're going to have to hold on to that joy. We've got an enemy that comes to steal it. Is that right? Hello. comes to steal our joy. I mean, even our health. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries your bones. A merry heart doeth good like, I love that. And as I say, the more I focus on it, focus on that gem, hold on to that. You know, Psalm 51 verse 12, let me read it to you from my Passion Translation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Remember when you first got saved? Is that right? You witnessed to everybody, you were happy, is that right? He says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Something happens that so often it squeezes. Psalm 100 verse 2, bring your gift of laughter. Think about this. Bring your gift of laughter to God. Sing your way into his presence with joy. I love it. You know, your musicians this morning, they're right in the spirit. They first two songs about joy. I never told them what I was going to preach. I didn't even know myself until a couple of hours ago. You know, the Spirit of God has got a way. Anyway, communicating. Paul says, I might finish my course with joy. I want to finish my course with joy. It's so easy to lose your joy. A few years ago, I got invited to come to the United States and preach for Kenneth Hagin, the fourth person of the Trinity. Hello? I'm coming to Mecca, the holy city. Think about this. I'm from Darwin. I haven't even seen a freeway. Hello? Hello, country comes to town. You know, and I get my message. I get it all together, you know, and I'm ready to go. And I'll never forget, we arrive at the airport. Now, my brother-in-law is a real cowboy. He said, when you arrive in the United States, they've got some beautiful hand-plaited whips. Will you buy me a stock whip? So I buy it, and I put it in my case. True story, not making it up. And my daughter was about to get married. She said, Dad, there's a place over there called Victoria's Secrets. They got these beautiful negligees and frilly undies. And so Jen buys them and shoves them in my case. I'm going to a preacher's conference. I can see where your mind's going. I'm not making it up. You know, if you're sick if you've got to make stories up. And, you know, we arrived there. I don't even know. Here's Kenneth Hagin. Hello. You don't know me from Adam. Hello. Kenneth Copeland. Oh, Jerry Spell, you beauty over there. I said, look, Jen, look. And I'm waiting for my case. It's traveled around the world with me. Trusty case. Slides down, hits the thing, springs open. And on the top is whipping black undies. And it's spinning around. Jen said, get your case. I said, I've never seen that case before in my life. You think I'm going to get that? She said, jump on the carousel and pack it away. I'm holding it, spinning around in front of these preachers. This black preacher says, kinky man, kinky. And I said to Jen, who's going to believe me tomorrow? When I get up to preach tomorrow, who's going to believe me? I mean, Kenneth Hagin's known for faith. Is that right? Joseph Prince for grace. Guess what I'm remembered for? Whips and undies. As God is my witness, I went back 10 years later and the pastor introduced me, the pastor from Australia with the whip and the undies. 10 years later. And I went back to my wife and I just said, I just hope the ground opens up and swallows me up. And she made me laugh. She said, well, hey, couldn't get any worse. So, I mean, hello, anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen to me, hold on to your joy. It may be the only thing that keeps you sane in a world that's fast going nuts. I told the men yesterday, I'm not making up, Time magazine. The average person today has the stress levels of mental patients in the 1950s. So you're considered normal now, you're a nutcase back in the 50s. Doesn't that make you feel good? We pop pills, is that right? I heaps of guys I know in ministry, they pop tranquilizers and things. Listen to me. Renew your mind to the Word of God. Hold on to that joy. Whatever it costs, hold on to that joy. If you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. If you go out of here and your tire's flat, it's not your love you lose. Do I lie? There's so many scriptures that we could go dealing with joy. You know, in Acts chapter 27, remember the storm and they're about to get shipwrecked? And Paul writes, I love this, in verse 22, he says, be of good cheer. We're just going to sink. But be of good cheer. Hello? He says it again in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. In other words, keep your joy. we're about to sink. Is that right? Nobody's going to die, but hold on to your joy. You know, I don't know you folks, but I can tell you people here that you've lost your joy. How long since you've laughed? How long since at least that life just was just enough exuberant to enjoy life? Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Over and over, I love that. And Paul says that I might finish my course with joy. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. Quickly go to Acts with me. Acts chapter 2. How many still believe the Bible? In Acts chapter 2, Paul writes, I didn't write this, he wrote it. And I'm sure you're familiar, Acts chapter 2, in verse 4, he says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Awesome. It goes on to say, and they began to speak with other tongues. Then if you go to Acts chapter 4, in verse 31, it says, and they were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, second time filled with the Holy Spirit. That's great, awesome. But in Acts chapter 13, if we could go there, Acts chapter 13, let me just pick it up. Acts 13, verse 52, it says here, and the disciples were filled not just with the Holy Spirit, but with joy. Now, how many of you know this is absolute truth? Is that right or not? Hello? They're filled the first time with the Holy Spirit, doesn't mention joy. They're filled the second time, doesn't mention joy. But here, they're not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're filled with joy. Because up until Paul starts to preach grace, they lived under law. And when Paul comes preaching the grace of God, all the people left rejoicing. All the people left rejoicing. Why? Because they understood the words that were preached to them. Man, I love it. Man, you know, just the simplicity. Hey, I'm going in the rapture, I know for sure, because God loves me. He tells me all the time. I'd lost a real great friend, as I said, suicide. I'm sitting in a large church in Singapore, and I'm depressed. You know, in the worship service, I hear the voice of God speaking. He says, Cole, I love you. I even like you. What does that do to you? I even like you. Man, I love that. Imagine, you know, this is me. I honestly believed if we had some joy come back into the church, people would beat the doors down. Can I have an amen or what? Amen. I remember years ago with Don, we're flying down to a conference. This is many years ago, flying down to a conference in Brisbane. And so we just had a horrific thing happen in our church. I don't want to relate what it was, but horrific. Nearly lost the church. And so we get onto the plane. The moment we get on the plane, the joy hit us. I started laughing. I couldn't help it. This is long before Rodney Howard Brown or any of those. And I couldn't help it. I'm laughing the whole time. And so it affected other people around us. And I'll never forget the hostess come up and said, what do you do for a living? Are you comedians? That's what she said. I said, lady, I'm in the ministry. She said, you don't have to lie about it. And I couldn't help it. That joy, is that right? Anybody experience what I'm talking about? You just laugh. It's stupid, but I'm laughing. And, you know, I don't like that term, final approach. We were coming into land. And we're about to get off. And we're laughing. And the hostess had dropped the whole tray of coffee, and we're all laughing about it, you know. And she came up and she said, really, really? She said, what do you do for a living? And Don says to her, well, actually, I'm a shrink. I'm taking these two to Happy Acres to cut out paper dolls. And she looked at me and said, I can believe that. And I got off the plane. I said, Lord, so she can't believe I'm in ministry, but she can believe I'm going to the nut farm to cut out paper dolls. Something is wrong. Is that right or not? You know, I'm not being smart. Is it okay to be real? I didn't want to be in ministry because I thought ministers were losers. I thought the reason you went in ministry because you couldn't make it in life. That's the truth. The ones that I saw never could make it. Hello? I don't want to be like that. Is that right? Until the Spirit of God really started to deal with me. Fred Price changed my life forever. We went to Bible school. But I thought, no joy. Cruise directors for the Titanic. All lost their $100 bills. But anyway. So we got to close, but let me tell you the end time church. Forget about YouTube or all these wonderful prophets talking about end time. Let's see what the Bible actually calls the end time church. So in Isaiah chapter 35, we find now Isaiah's gazing down the corridors of history. He begins to prophesy what he sees for the end time church. Isaiah 35, verse 8, a highway should be there, a road, it should be called a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it should be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go. It shall not be found, but the redeemed shall walk there. Look at verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. If ever there was a generation that needs ransoming, it's this one. We've never had to contend with crime, with suicide, with drugs like this generation. Can I have an amen or what? And it says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall, and they'll come to Zion with singing. And then he gazes down the corridors of history and he sees a sign. What will be the sign? Great miracles, they'll be there. Great, you know, prophetic words, they'll be there. Great, you know, outreaches, they'll be there. But that's not the predominant sign that he seeks. He says, and I'll come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The predominant sign, according to this, on their heads is joy. Why would it be joy on your head? Because your face is on your head. This is supposed to be the billboard for your soul. Whatever happens here shows here. Anger shows on you. Is that right or not? Fear shows on your face, but so does joy. I love joyful people. I love people that can make me laugh. You know, there's people out there, is that right, that just suck your joy. You know, it's like a big octopus and they come up and they just, there goes your joy. I think I'll go and shoot myself now. But there's people that can make you laugh. That's why comedians are such highly paid entertainers. Because people like to laugh. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you lose your joy, you'll lose your strength. And it says all the people left rejoicing. I love that. I would love to see a church where the entire church left rejoicing. Wouldn't that be a witness to the world? Smile on their face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor Rob. Lord, we just lift up the Spirit of God. Lord, we just lift the people up, I should say. Lord, I just speak over their lives. I call them the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, that whatever they turn their hands to shall prosper and succeed. The enemy shall no longer find opportunities to come into our homes and families, rob, kill, destroy, with suicide, depression. Lord, in Jesus' name, that we might hold on to your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus said, well, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why do you think children just flock to Jesus? Remember the disciples, get away, you brats. But Jesus said, let them come. Let them. You can't fool kids, is that right or not? You can fool adults, but you can't fool kids. I'll never forget, we had a visiting ministry that came, and we had him in our home. And my kids came, I thought they were spiritual as a brick. They said, Dad, that guy's as phony as a $3 bill. I said, don't say that. And they started to say, well, it's one thing in the pulpit, totally different outside. I believe you need to be the same in the pulpit as you are in the rest of your life. Just be transparent. I might be a nut, but I'm a happy nut. If you've got to be nuts, be happy about it. Would you stand up with me? Just bow your heads for a moment. I don't know everybody. I don't know many people here. So just honor the Lord for a moment. Is there anybody here this morning that you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't drag you down the front. All you need to do is pop your hand up and say, please, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm seeing a lot of men get saved. That's what I love. A lot of blokes. You know, tough blokes. If there's anybody else out there, anybody, just pop your hand up and say, please, Pastor, pray for me. Would you pray for me? I need that in my life. Would you say this with me? Everybody, come on, say it out of your heart. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me, for my sin. And I ask you now, Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And I believe, according to your word, that the old man dies and ceases to exist. And I'm a brand new creation, made in the image of God. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. And you're my best friend. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Can we do that? Pastor already said it, but can I encourage you to buy a book? You say you're just trying to sell books. Hey, my mother didn't raise any idiots, hello. But if you don't have the money, I'll give you a book. I so strongly, look, they make great Christmas presents. Pass it on to people that don't normally come to church. Maybe you've left the church offended. Let the word of God speak to them. Can I have an amen? I want to give my bro down there this book. Okay, it's been great just to be able to spend some time with you. I'm looking forward to spending some time with the youth. Let me just say, I don't know everything, but I can tell you I've learned some things in ministry. If you don't learn something after 40 years, you're a moron. Hello? I've learned to do it God's way. Not just do it your own way, call it God, but do it God's way. Is that right or not? And Paul says that I might finish my course with joy. It's better to die laughing than die crying. If you've got to go, go laughing. My father-in-law, German man, wonderful man, in his 80s, and we're all around the bed, and he's about to go, and Jen's saying, it's a lovely day. Look at it, how the beautiful, good day to go to heaven. He says, it's really hard to die. That's what he said. So we all started laughing. We couldn't help it. And he died laughing. Isn't that the way to go? In my own family, if I could just have a minute, I forgot, but my mother-in-law, Mary Poppins, at 90 years of age, she was still the kindergarten nanny at 90 years of age. Just full of life, you know, I mean, just never had a bad word, loved people, but just the joy of the Lord. I remember one time we went down to this jungle water hole for a swim. We jump out of my four-wheel drive, all run down, and all these hippies there in the nude. All swimming in the nude. I said, Jen, get the kids, we're getting out of here. I said, where's Nana? Where's Nana Phil? She's down there sitting. Are you having a lovely day today? What sort of a day are you having today? I said, Nana, they're in the nude. She said, I never even noticed. 90 years of age, and young kids from the kindergarten come and drop a rose in their grave. Hello? You don't fool kids. The joy of the Lord is the strength. Let it show on your face. The predominant sign of the end time church. Endless joy upon their head. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God.
Great. Well, thank you, Pastor Cole, for that.